Hey, okay. It works. I love technology. Okay, well, I will officially start us out. Thank you all so much for being here. I'm really excited to, I'm always really excited to talk to Neeba. Neeba has been a really great friend. We met while we were both in grad school in North Carolina. I was at UNC Chapel Hill and Neeba was at Duke. And we bonded over just kind of this common link of being vulnerable and having some difficult conversations and just kind of being real with things that were really difficult. And so what we're going to be here talking today, and the reason that we're talking in the graduate student club, is Neeba has put together one of these just like incredibly impactful videos about leaving grad school. And I will let Neeba tell her own story, but I just want to start out that we're, like Neeba said, we are recording this. Please go ahead and raise your hand if you have something to ask or something to say. Just know that you potentially are being recorded. And we will definitely leave plenty of time for people to ask questions at the end. But before you forget, definitely go follow Neeba. She's on YouTube as well. So, but follow her here at least. Neeba, do you want to tell us just a little bit of your background and how you came to even make this video?
Yeah, that sounds good. Gosh, I always blush when people like introduce me. It's a nice reminder of getting rid of the imposter syndrome. So yeah, we met at Duke. I was doing my PhD. And so when, you know, COVID hit and many other factors happened, I was starting to look more into leaving grad school, which is really where all of this comes together. I started out entering grad school as someone who had the very typical, like, oh, I did well in undergrad in my lab, so I'm going to go do my PhD and get tons of funding and become a PI at an R1 university and have a tenure track position, yada, yada, yada. It's like so classic cookie cutter for people in academia. And as time went on, I discovered a career path that I didn't even know existed before grad school, which was in science communication. And I realized that as much as I love doing science, I really just liked talking about science and talking about the weird things of science, you know, like, I don't know, weird peanuts or like weirdly shaped watermelons that look like cubes just because you grow them in cube shaped jars. And like weird things like that. And so this video kind of came about because last year when I was going through the process of deciding what to do with my life, there was a combination of pandemic and personal factors and this career change that I was like, you know, maybe I don't really need a PhD in order to accomplish my career goals. And something that someone had mentioned after I'd posted the video was that a PhD takes like, you know, somewhere in the realm of 5 to 7 years to complete. And most people leave jobs like within less than 4 years. So finishing a PhD is just an incredibly long experience in the US. So anyways, so last year, it was around March of last year, and I got some personal news that if you're interested in getting all of the details of this decision, you can go check out my video on YouTube. I got some personal information, and with the pandemic, I think that brought about a lot of questions in people, you know, existential questions of like, what am I doing with my life? And what is the point of humanity? And, you know, meanwhile, against this backdrop of just the pandemic heightening things that have already been an issue in society for a while. So with all of this combined, I decided, you know what, maybe I just want to do the career that I want to do and be in the place that I want to be in. And that's it. You know, there's no point in trying to force myself to continue this, you know, PhD if it's not something that I need. And I feel like the culture of North Carolina was really difficult for me because my entire personality and being is just so like West Coast. So like moving there and living there was kind of difficult. And so for me, the choice to leave grad school was pretty simple in the moment. I kind of like had all these thoughts and immediately just acted on it. But I feel like in the weeks following, I really began to face the repercussions of that choice. A lot of people outside of academia see getting a master's as, you know, still a really big accomplishment. But if you step off like the doctoral spotlight, so to speak, there's also a lot of discourse within academia of as being someone who's not smart enough or strong enough to keep pushing. And this is something that I found echoed in a lot of like blogs and podcasts where people were talking about their experience. But, you know, even though there's been a ton of people who've blogged about theirs, I feel like it's kind of a disjointed, not community, so to speak, but disjointed experience, because you're leaving a community, so to speak. And everyone, it's not as though it's something like actively talked about. It's something that's more kind of almost swept under the rug sometimes, or just like not mentioned. Like, you won't really see grad schools advertising the people who've left, right? And so I couldn't really find many other people who had decided to take this like different route while I was in grad school because of all of these reasons. And so I kind of like reached out to the online world because I wanted to tell my story of how I left grad school, because I knew that there were probably other people out there who debated, you know, finishing their PhD or not, because everyone has those thoughts of like whether I should quit or not. But like, how do you know whether that's really the right choice for you? At some point, you know, that is the right choice for a lot of people, but you may not get that kind of advice from, you know, your graduate school who's very intent on keeping you there. So I reached out to this online world wanting to hear from other people about their thoughts and their experiences in leaving a PhD program. And so I narrowed the selection down to only people who were in the US doing a PhD, because it's like a very specific experience. And this was by far one of the most difficult videos I've ever had to make. But I feel like having all of these experiences from different people, because this process of leaving grad school can be so unique and different for every single person, having all these experiences from different people really helped kind of flesh out the story and understand what the process looks like for different people. Some people have, you know, administrative help, other people don't. And yeah.
Wow. I mean, I know the story, and it's still just, it's really interesting to know the story from the background and then to hear you summarize it in just a handful of minutes, and to be able to see just the huge growth that you've made. And one of the things that we've talked about is that oftentimes in academia and just in life in general, people will try to cover over pain and struggle by saying, oh, it's a great thing for growth. So I'm not going to try to glorify that piece, because this has been, I mean, the fact that you have grown in this year, and the fact that you have created, and you've created so much, and pursued your dreams. So we're definitely going to get to that too at the end of like, how are you pursuing your dreams? Because, oh my gosh, you totally are. But it's just been a pleasure to watch. So going back to the video though, and these other folks' experiences, how did you find these people, and how did you choose who you wanted to hear talk about their experiences?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think it's one thing that still kind of disappoints me about the video, but I totally understand it, is that if you do watch it, you'll notice that there's not a single Black person or Indigenous person who felt comfortable coming forward with their experiences. And so when I reached out to the world, it was kind of through like just general Twitter, Slack channels, and places where I knew that academics and former academics were living. Living online, so to speak. And so I had interviewed a number of people, but since this was going to be a public video, I made sure to check in with people multiple times prior, during, afterwards, showing them a draft and stuff of like, you know, how does this look? And even though I had interviewed a couple more people that appeared in the video, they decided that they wanted to not actually participate in it because it was too public, or perhaps that they didn't feel safe to come forward with their story. And when you watch the video, you can keep in mind that, like, you know, these are just the people who felt comfortable and safe in speaking out about their story. I saw so many stories of just harassment and racism and discrimination and just sexual advances that were really not necessary. And through each of these, it's just such a, I don't know, I feel like the reasons to leave grad school can be lumped into like, you know, there's some people who want to change their career, and that's totally fine. And having some amount of people leave grad school is totally fine. And like, people should not be shamed for just changing their career. But then there's also the reasons of like, you know, racism and discrimination and a person who's not getting, you know, accommodations for her disability. And these are all the reasons that really seem like just such a waste of money and talent, and a way of just like almost like pushing people out of academia and out of the ivory tower, so to speak. And I think, you know, this is the very first time I have ever seen the experiences of people who have left grad school being compiled and put together. And I tried my best to kind of like extract similar themes and whatnot. And I think we'll probably touch on those in a little bit.
Yeah, you absolutely teed me up for the next question, which is that I wanted to ask, you know, what kind of themes did come out? And then also, you know, how has your feeling around your own experience been affected by hearing about other people's experiences?
Oof. I will say these are two, I'll try to remember both questions. Themes largely has been how huge of an impact the environment makes. So many people cited bad advisors as a reason for leaving. So many people cited bad environments as a reason for leaving. Alternatively, there were people who wanted to leave and then decided to stay because they had a good advisor. There were a lot of themes of mental illness and people who just wanted a healthier lifestyle and wanted to not be like working so much, or wanted to just be able to, you know, have direct communication with people. When you're in like a advisor-advisee relationship in academia, it's really weird because a lot of the like risk is all in the hands of the student. You know, like if the professor does something bad, we see this time and time again, you know, they can just kind of almost get away with it. There were people this year who just tenured professors who just like impersonated other people online, and they have no repercussions from their department. And so when you think of like these power dynamics, it's quite weird that like there's not this like a system of checks and balances. Another thing that really kept resurfacing over and over again is just how difficult of a decision it was. I know earlier you mentioned like kind of like all the success that I've had, quote unquote, after like leaving grad school. And I feel really odd about that because there were a lot of people who said something to the tune of like, oh, now you're successful that you've left. And it makes me wonder, like, you know, would my decision to leave grad school have been seen as not a good decision if I hadn't had all of this success? Because like, I definitely threw myself into work at a very unhealthy level during last year, just because of everything going on. And there were people I interviewed who said, you know, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable talking about this because I don't feel like I've had that success yet. And I think it's important to remember that like just walking away from something that's not good for you is also a success in and of itself. Like you don't necessarily need to have gotten like awards and fellowships and whatever else is awardee in your sector in order to consider it a good decision for yourself. It's more just like, do you feel better? You know, like there were people who talked about how in the weeks and months after they left, they just found themselves like not crying every single day, or they found themselves not having this huge like weight and pressure on themselves. And that was something that I think has been really resonating with me in terms of like how people perceive you after you leave grad school. Like it shouldn't necessarily depend on how successful you are. Sorry, I forgot your second question.
Oh, that's totally fine. Cause that's on me for being like, here's two gigantic questions. you know, the other question is, and I think that kind of ties into it as well, of how did learning about other people's experiences, how did that affect how you saw your own experience or how maybe you had felt about this situation?
Oh, whoa. I mean, I think that was a question that came up a little bit during a grad chat with the PhD balance that I did about this topic. That is also recorded and is available as like a link on my video and in my description and stuff, if you guys want to check that out. But a lot of people were wondering like what kind of administrative support or what kind of reactions and things like that people got. And I got to say, like, this is where I'm really glad that I spoke to a lot of different people, because like the way that at the moment I saw when I was like leaving grad school, I was like, oh man, there's a pandemic. There's all these terrible things happening. Everything sucks. But I didn't realize like how privileged I was in the way that I was able to leave grad school, because some people choose to leave and, you know, they'll email their professor or their PI, and their PI, you know, will write back and then they'll go through the forms and whatever. But there was like a person who chose to leave and their PI just never responded. And so they'd chosen to leave because this person just like never responded after months and months. And even after deciding to leave and sending the message of like, hey, I'm choosing to leave my PhD program, this guy still didn't respond. And I'm like, oh my God, like the amount of just the variance in like how people handle it and how these decisions happen is just enormous. And I feel like that was what was really helpful in figuring out like getting this project together, is because if you can figure out where to look for help in leaving grad school, like, should you look to admin? Should you look to a specific other professor, for example? That can really like help the decision. And so I've come to realize that like by having a really, really supportive mentor, and I had reached out to my graduate school and just like leveled with them, like, you know, here's the situation, what can I do? And they were like, actually, you can check out these resources. And I was like, wow, this exists. Okay, you're helping me even though I'm like literally leaving. That's great. And so it was like a really privileged moment. But in looking at like, all these other people's experiences, I know that that was definitely not the case for a lot of people. And figuring out like where your resources are is such a challenge, because it's not as though they're advertised if you're like leaving grad school.
Yeah. And so prior to when you were making this decision, had you talked with people much before, you know, before you got to the point where you're like, maybe I should leave grad school? Had you heard about many people leaving? Had you talked to many people leaving? How did you even really know this was an option? What did you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, there was a person in my program who chose to leave, and I never knew her, but I like was told about her during my very first year, and someone had mentioned that she had written like a blog about it. And so I went and I checked it out, and I was like, wow, this actually like makes a lot of sense. And yet, even though her piece writing about it made a lot of sense, a lot of the students kind of spoke about her in this like weird, like, oh, she couldn't cut it, or like, oh, she wasn't like good enough, or like, oh, I don't understand why she left. And I'm like, I don't really get that, because it seems like these reasons are very upfront and there. And I think everyone goes through, you know, some amount of like thinking they're going to quit and just thinking it's not worth it. And the difference is that for people who actually leave, it's not as though there's like a connection. It's not as though the department will be like, here's the emails of people who've left and you can talk to them about your decision and see if it's right for you. And I think that's what's like really missing. Not that like, you know, they necessarily should be encouraging people to leave, but like if people are legitimately considering leaving, like, you know, you could look into it. Like, you don't want to leave if it's not the right option for you, but you do want to leave if that is the right option for you. And maybe being connected to people who have left could be helpful somehow. I didn't know anyone other than this like person who chose to leave. And I kind of like went to the online realms to see like, you know, different people who had blogged about it and stuff, but I felt really kind of isolated because a lot of people cited like harmful lab environments or unsupportive PIs. And here I was sitting with my like super chill, amazing PI and my really awesome lab. And yet I was like, I don't want to do this for my career. So that was a huge part of like, when I was trying to figure out whether or not to leave, I was reading all these things and I just felt like I just still didn't really know what to do, because everyone I knew was like in grad school. Because if you're in grad school, everyone you know is in grad school. And then everyone who's outside of grad school has like no idea how academia works, which is just like, it's just like this weird thing with all these weird terms. And like, so I think having this kind of project, it almost stemmed from like, I was almost looking for some sort of advice or community or something like this online to try and help like explain my own decision and what I should be doing. And so one thing that I really wanted from this video is just like being able to like reach like even one person who was like feeling this decision, and that one person could relate to like even like 2 seconds of this whole video. And I've had like a handful of messages now of people being like, oh, I'm not sure what I'll decide, but I really relate to this. Or like, oh, I chose to leave and this part I related to. Every time I've gotten one of those messages, I've almost like straight up cried, because I'm just like, oh, I'm so glad this reached like one person even, because it's just not something that's talked about. And I feel like if you can see it in video form specifically, then you can really like kind of tell emotionally how it impacted so many of these people. And that sometimes, you know, it comes across in writing, but video, you know, humans are very visual creatures, as we all sit here probably looking at our phones.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, oh gosh, there's like promises I want to ask every question at once, which you've already seen is the biggest issue. I guess the question that I have is like, as you were asking people about their stories or about their advice? You know, did you get from people what they wish they had known or what advice they might have for others?
Yeah, a lot of people said something to the tune of like, I wish I had left sooner, which I think is like definitely a bit of a sample bias of like, you know, I'm talking to people who had left or some people who were just thinking about leaving and whatnot. A lot of people said something to the tune of like, I wish I had like kind of figured out what exactly I wanted from my career and whether or not a PhD was for it. But on the flip side, there were people who said like, I just needed the time in grad school to kind of like figure it out. And that really, like this especially has just stood out to me as just being like such a personal decision. It's not really something that someone can be like, dude, click off these boxes. Okay, if you do, make this decision. If you don't, make this decision. Because there's just so many factors into it. And so by trying to like have many people tell their story, I was hoping I could try and get this kind of like range of like, okay, this person made this decision and that's what worked for them. This person made this choice and that's what worked for them. And it's really, you know, it comes down to a number of things. Like, you know, if you're hardcore wanting to be a professor and continue in academia, but your lab isn't a right fit, you know, maybe leaving grad school isn't right for you, but rather just leaving the lab and finding a lab that fits better for you. Versus like, you know, if you've just now discovered there's another career that you want to do and you don't need your PhD for it, then like, why would you continue doing something you don't want to do for money that's like not even money, you know, like you're not even getting like fairly compensated for it anymore. And so anyways, so I think like in terms of wish, like what you wish, it's just a matter of like knowing yourself, knowing your decision, what's really important for you. And that's just a process that's constantly happening. It's not really something you can just kind of like tick off your list and be like, all right, I'm all done knowing myself now.
That would be lovely. I'm just imagining a BuzzFeed article of like, should you leave? Because I mean, I went through that a lot and people ask like, are you glad you stayed? And I am glad that I got through it, but it wasn't that I got through it because I was fit for it. You know, I think that that's one of the most destructive narratives we have in academia is, if you stay, it's because you're great and you belong there. And if you leave, it's just you weren't cut out for it. And like you're saying, with everything from personal choices to extremely toxic environments, you know, people should be encouraged to grow in their career, no matter what that looks like and no matter their reasons to make certain decisions. To that point, are there things that you can think of that like universities or student support offices could do to better support students as they're making these just incredibly difficult decisions?
Yeah, I mean, I think a big resource that if it's available at your university, I highly recommend everyone take advantage of is just like some sort of alternative careers workshop or something like that, because there's so many careers out there, but when you're in academia, you're continually only exposed to one, and that one is continually being framed as like the career, the best one, the like pinnacle of intellectuals in this like echelon of just smartness, really. And I think a lot of like places and universities are doing much better about having these kinds of like other careers you can look for. But I also think there needs to be a little bit more transparency during the interview stage of like what really people are getting themselves into. And of course, that's a little bit impossible because, you know, you can't really explain 6 years of experience with like, you know, the 2-day whatever it is interview, but I do think it's more fair to explain, you know, these are the costs, these are maybe statistics on why someone left. One question I got in the grad chat with PhD Balance when I was talking about leaving grad school is, did I ever have to fill out like a survey or anything, like did the school ever track like why I left? And the answer was like, I thought that was like a brilliant question, because up until that moment, I was like, oh, I'm just going to leave, whatever. And I hadn't realized like, oh, if the school bothered to track like why students leave, that actually would have been super helpful for the school. You know, like if it's because I'm leaving for like a career thing, maybe they could use that information to have better career counseling or something. To their credit, I did think Duke actually did a really great job with career counseling and whatnot. But I also had to like search so hard for resources. And I think I put in a lot more effort than some people might have in terms of like how many people I emailed. So just being more upfront about things in the interview stage, and I think maybe having a little bit more connections between current grad students and prospective grad students. And maybe making those connections a little more casual. I've seen a lot of people on like Twitter or whatever being like, oh, I'm going to hashtag university. Any grad students want to like tell me the tea and what's going on? But those, that's like a very, I don't know, it feels almost like limited, right? Because that's only limited to the people who have Twitter and have the reach on Twitter to be able to reach other people on Twitter. And like, I'm a tiny Twitter person. I like barely do Twitter. I still don't understand why people do Twitter. I'm sorry, Suze.
No, I mean, I don't understand why you Twitter either, so.
So like, I was talking to someone who mentioned like, you know, oh, yeah, I just like asked all these grad students when I was going there. And I'm like, man, that's like not what everyone can do, you know? So in terms of like transparency, I think it's important to like, if schools can start tracking like why people are leaving, what kind of things they could do better, and then actually using it, you know, like there's all these conversations about grad school and things that can be done better. And like, everyone and their mom at this point knows that grad school has issues and needs to fix them. I just don't understand like why it is the admin keeps dragging their shoes on this, because it's, you know, if they're losing students who really want to be there because of, you know, discrimination or whatever, then it's really a loss to the university, right? And so I think like really just being more transparent about like different careers and things like that. A really, really, really big one that I highly recommend every grad student do, please, is to try and do an internship in a career that you're considering. And this was something I hadn't even considered until this brilliant grad student I was looking up to did like an internship at like a science policy type place. And I was like, whoa, you can do that? And she was like, yeah, I mean, I just fought for it. And then I left for 10 weeks and I was like, that sounds cool. Let me try that. So I interned at Stanford doing science communication stuff for them and absolutely loved it. And that was like the moment I was like, man, I knew I liked this, but this is great. And when I mentioned this to a couple of friends of mine, they were like, oh, I can't imagine like leaving grad school for like 10 weeks to go somewhere else and do something. And like, it's not like you're going off to like, you know, sit on a beach and do absolutely nothing for 10 weeks. Like, as much as we would all love to do that, that is really cool. If you can, go for it. But like, you know, if you're doing something to like further your own career, like I almost feel like it should be mandatory somewhere in the like six, whatever years of grad school, it should be possible to take 10 weeks out to go and actually try a career. Cause you can sit in all the seminars you want and talk to all the people you want, but until you experience it, that's really when you know, like what's up.
I love that. Gosh, I just think the work that you put into making this video is so important, you know, to amplify a bunch of people's voices and to validate experiences and even just to give something. I mean, I think that one of the most disheartening things is that you have a question, you have a fear, you have shame, and you Google something and you find nothing that you identify with. Right? You feel like the only person who exists in the world who's ever dealt with this. And it's usually not because you actually are, but rather that people haven't taken the time yet to talk about it, or they're not in the medium that you're looking. And I think a lot of that is that this process is so difficult. It's so draining. It's so stigmatized. And I just think it's really cool that you put in that effort. I'd like to invite Diana Klatt up because she's awesome, and asked to come up to have a question or a comment.
Hi,
Diana.
I'm first of all, hi, Neva. and thank you for letting me join. You know, I know you're focusing a lot on PhDs and people dropping out, but I just wanted to offer something that I think it's really interesting in the difference, because I dropped out of med school. So just a different type of doctorate. So I think it's really interesting, you know, a lot of times for med school and like pre-med stuff, you have to do all of these internships, right? And you have to have these exposures in order to even go into it, because they want to make sure you're committed to it. But then even then, you know, it might not be until your like last rotations that you find out whether or not something's right for you. And having things that are like not just like prerequisites, but also throughout the experience are really important, because obviously your interests change, your level of understanding changes as you're going on, right? And then as you experience things in different levels of your own understanding of yourself and science and whatever your particular interest is changes, like maybe that's just not the field for you. And I think that, you know, that in that point in particular, I found to be like, that's a really interesting thing that I hadn't really thought about, in the difference between, you know, applied medicine versus, you know, PhD, which, like, let's be real, all of it is a lot of work. But sometimes there seems to be this like very drastic difference in how you get in and what processes happen between the two schools.
Yeah, absolutely. And Neva, something that you brought up earlier was the transparency at the start of how many people stay in a program and whether or not it's tracked. And Neva, you have, what is the stat for how many grad students actually complete their PhD?
The statistic for doctoral students who are leaving their PhD is about half. Technically speaking, it is over 50%. And it's quite huge. I think, you know, even in PhDs, everyone's required to like dip your toe in the water and have some level of like experience and internships and whatnot. But I don't know if this is like this for other people's internships, but I felt like my internships were such a level, like 10 billion degrees level lower than like what the actual thing was. And maybe that's just because, you know, I was like 17 at the time or whatever. But like, I don't know. I think there's also this, the amount of careers that you're exposed to kind of like shows you, right? Like so many people when they enter college are like, oh, I like biology, so I'll be a doctor, because that's one of the professions that is like very patient facing. And like you interact with so many doctors and stuff, but we don't really interact with a lot of other many, many STEM professionals, like, you know, in terms of science policy, science technology, biotech startups, whatever. And so I wonder if part of it is just like, you know, you can have all these experiences and stuff, but also there's these really cool careers out there that just don't have as many like moments of like brushing up with people at like a younger age, which is why whenever I get to work with like people in high school and middle school, like I do now, I'm so stoked about it, because I get to tell people in like people who are like 13 about like what a science communicator does. And I think just having this like exposure to different paths at a very young age helps you kind of like broaden the worldview of like what is out there.
And since I have both of you up here, and other people can feel free to ask to come up and share their input, or definitely come up and ask questions if you have questions. But the question that I want to pose to both of you is, let's say somebody listening to this, whether in the audience right now or to the recording, let's say if they're considering it, something that has been kind of brewing in their mind, it's something that, you know, they're starting to look and say, I think maybe I want to leave. What advice do you have for them?
I would say the biggest thing in figuring out whether you should leave is figuring out why you want to leave. Whether it's like, you know, a different career path, or if it's because you want to just be somewhere else, like physically. I know people who wanted to do that and then they just decided to like transfer schools. That's like a whole option in PhD life that like very few people do, very few people talk about. And I think that's the hardest part, is like trying to figure out like, is this just a bump in the road of PhD stuff, or is this something I genuinely am like over and I don't want to do anymore? And really it just comes down to like, do you want that PhD real hard? Like, will it actually be useful, or is it something that you just think you really want because that's what everyone around you wants and that's what you've been wanting for a really long time? And I think ultimately it just comes down to like this concept of like, it's okay for your goals to change. There's a really great like Calvin and Hobbes Bill Watterson comic talking about like, you know, just because your meaning of life isn't, you know, the tons of money or like a very specific degree or whatever, just because your meaning of life is something else doesn't make it any less valid. And just because you have decided to like walk away from something that many people consider as being super prestigious doesn't mean that you're any less smart. And so I think separating the sense of self from what you work on, which I know is like the biggest, hardest thing to do, because even now I like super struggle with it and still haven't really separated it. But like having that separation of like, you still rock regardless of whether or not you finish grad school, whether that's like med school, PhD, or JD, whatever. And sorting out like why you want to leave, that's really, I think, where the conversation starts for yourself, and just so much introspection, talking to other people as much as you can, because, you know, hopefully you can relate to some of these other experiences, but in the end, it's such a personal decision.
Yeah. You know, I definitely want to echo things that Nipa just said, especially with trying to figure out the stem of what is getting to you, like why you're feeling the way you're feeling and why you're in, like why you feel that this urge to leave. Which obviously, yeah, of course, like, you know, things change. But I think one of the, like a very crucial thing, like I personally didn't recognize that it was leaving that would help me. when I was like struggling with everything going on, I actually was going to a mental health coach at the time. And in discussing different things with them is how I like realized, I was like, oh, wait. Being in this program is what's making me unhappy. This is why I don't want to do what I want to do. Like, it's not necessary. Like, I was just like actively talking about these different feelings I was having. And throughout the process of discussing it was how I figured out like, oh, right. This is why I don't want to be here. It's this program. It's not the right fit. Like, this isn't the right thing for me. I want to work. Like, this isn't the way I want to help impact, you know, people and health. Like, I want to do something else. And that's ultimately what helped me figure out how to get out, like decide to leave, you know, and it was having that support from someone who was able to help guide me through these conversations and kind of parse through my emotions and all the things that I was feeling. And I also was very fortunate to have a support network of people that were like understanding. They're like, oh, I understand where you're coming from, because they had seen me like struggling, but like not with nothing that like I couldn't identify why I was struggling, right? It was more like emotional. It wasn't necessarily like I was able to do all the coursework. I finished all the coursework, and it was literally just like coming up to these rotations that I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't like this, but I don't know what it is. And in discussing with a therapist and friends, I was like, oh, this is it. Right. Okay. Let me act on this now that I've like settled with this. And afterwards, the decision, you know, it's a really hard decision. And like the months following that choice, you'll question yourself. And having someone to help with that process is major, because I think it's not an easy decision, right? Like Neva mentioned earlier, you leave jobs faster than you leave like doctoral programs and you switch jobs. So it's something that you're dedicating your life to. It's something that you've already like had in your mind since like, you know, maybe since you were 17, 18. Like years, and then you're like, oh, what I want has changed. Like, that's hard to process, and you shouldn't have to process it alone.
And to that question, or to that point, one of my questions is, now let's say that somebody listening knows somebody who is leaving or who has recently left. Do you have any advice for them about how to support this other person? How can somebody else support a person who is in the process or has left graduate school?
Deanna, do you want to take this one first, since I went first last time?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. I'm like, it's been a while. It's not a recent thing. It's something I don't think about very frequently anymore, but I think that, you know, something that I really wish, like, not, I guess it's not wish, but it's something that I really feel like I'm kind of bummed out about retrospectively, is that a lot of people that I had made friends with during my program stopped talking to me. And it was more of a, like, it came from the place of they were like, oh, she's not successful, or, oh, she won't be useful for me in my career. And it felt like really hurtful to know that I had built these friendships over time. Right. So I think that like, if you really want to be there and be supportive for people, it's literally just letting them know that you're there and that you'll be friends with them still. Right. That you don't see them as honestly like a tool or something to like move forward in your next thing, which unfortunately in academia and medicine and all of these fields happens a lot. And it's something like I hate that this is reality, but it's true. Like a lot of people don't necessarily treat each other as friends. And I think that, you know, if you see a friend struggling or thinking about this, just know, let them know that you're there for them. And because they're going through a very difficult internal process, right?
Yeah, I think the concept of just like, you know, a person is still worth a lot of friendships. Like, I don't know, I think at a certain level, like, after you leave college, some of your college friends, and you aren't really talking a whole bunch anymore. And a similar thing happens with grad school, but there's also this feeling of like, oh, I'm not useful to you anymore. Ergo, you will not like talk to me. I thought that was like kind of odd. I luckily like didn't really experience a ton of this because there was the pandemic, and I feel like people's minds were just occupied with this panini press just not stopping. Sorry, I just find it great whenever people refer to the pandemic as anything but the pandemic. And so, but at the same time, like people were really supportive when I was choosing to leave. Some people helped me with moving. Some people helped me just by like bringing food over because I was like really overwhelmed. Some people just like, one thing I really liked is that when people offered to help, they would give like concrete suggestions of like, hey, I can bring you food, or like, hey, I can get you from the airport, or like, hey, do you need some masks? Or like, you know, those kinds of like concrete things. Cause I think when you're in a state of like trying to figure out a lot of things, there's a lot of decisions you have to make and a lot of emotional labor that has to happen. And once you're done, you know, answering the 10th email from admin about why the margins in your thesis are like an eighth of an inch too tiny, like that actually happened to me. And once you're done with all of that, you're like, man, I have like no emotional labor power left to even decide like what would be helpful to me. So when people were like, oh, what can I do for you? I was like, man, I don't know. But when people were like, I can do X or Y, very specific thing, I'd be like, all right, sweet. These are things that you were willing to do. And I'm not going to feel bad for like asking you to do this thing because you have offered to do this thing. And really, I think that's really what you can do. And that's just more of like a, when you help people in general, not just for like leaving grad school, just like, if you genuinely want to help someone, offer some concrete suggestions, even if those suggestions aren't what they take, like that's totally cool. And if you don't have the bandwidth for it, just like say so. There were some friends of mine who just like genuinely didn't have the bandwidth to help me with stuff because of like, you know, the Panda Express happening at the same time. And so like, I was like, you know what? That's totally fine. We all got our own stuff going on. And then a couple of months later, once we settled into like, this is just life now, they like hit me up again. And I was like, you know what? Thank you. I like appreciate you just like communicating where you were at and where I was at. Like that was nice.
Okay. So the question that is, I, in my opinion, is the most difficult, but how do both of you feel about your decision? You know, Neba, you're about a year out, and Diana, you've got a couple more years on that. Just kind of, what are your general feelings around it? Do you think about this decision much, and how does it make you feel?
I'll start since I've been out for quite a while now. You know, I think that I like definitely went through different roller coasters of emotions. I felt very weird for probably the first year. I actually ended up going back to grad school just to finish do master's. Honestly, I was like, I'm not doing a doctorate again, like get out of here with that nonsense. I wasn't ready for that, but I did need to shift because I had spent so much time out. And I knew that I wanted to do like public health type of work, but I didn't have the experience, and I was just coming out of med school and you can't really do much with that. So I went back to get a master's. And since then, you know, I've had a couple different jobs, and I'm in this job that I've been in for almost a year now that I really can't see myself working on like hands-on on patients. I'm so happy with my decision. The career that I have is something where I get to see the impact that I do on a day-to-day basis. I can see how I'm helping people. You know, I've also been able to create a nonprofit where I'm educating people, and I get to like genuinely spend every day doing things that I love. And I'm not stressed out about like representing or being like the one doctor in my family. You know, like my mom moved here from, you know, Asia, like in Korea, and she wanted, someone needed to be a doctor in the family, so it should have been me. And then I was like, no, thank you. You know, I don't have to worry about these things anymore, because even my family has come around to see that, you know, I'm still making an impact in the kinds of spaces that I wanted to, and I'm so much happier. And it's great to see the support change over time. Cause at the beginning, I felt like I was very pitied by some people. Like, cause I, you know, I was like struggling, I was lost. And then over time, like as it's a bummer that to think that like, you know, it's because I am being successful. But I don't know if necessarily it's that people see it as success, or they see like the happiness, in my face on like, you know, photos or Zoom or whatever. But in general, like, you know, I find that my level of happiness is like significant. And I really find that it's like a privilege to have been able to do that. And of course, like, you know, I'm under a mountain of debt and that's a huge bummer, but I think it was definitely worthwhile to have had that experience because I don't know that I would have learned what it is that I want to do or end up where I wanted to be without having done that.
I'm sorry. I think that the mountain of debt is just a tragic part of everything. But like having the happiness is so much worth more. I saw a great tweet on Twitter that writers of color put out. I was like, money isn't even real. And I was like, yeah, you're right. But also it kind of is. Sorry. That's like such a non-answer. But so actually, even though I like kind of chose to leave grad school around like April, June of 2020, I technically graduated in December because bureaucracy, baby. So I'm like kind of 4 months out from graduating, which makes me feel like such a child and part of the class of 2020, but whatever. I don't know how I feel about the decision. I think this goes back to like Dana's really awesome point of like leaving your grad school isn't necessarily going to solve all your problems. You know, it's just going to change your environment. And like, even before, like, I don't think I really struggled with imposter syndrome until I hit grad school. And then all of a sudden it was like imposter syndrome nonstop. And then it didn't leave when I left grad school. I was kind of hoping it would. I think part of the reason I've been throwing myself into work so hard and definitely overworking myself in unhealthy ways is because I feel this need to like prove myself, like, you know, like Diane said, of like being that happy face on Zoom and like being there and doing that in order to be like, all right, yes, this was a good decision, a valid decision. But at the same time, I know that like it would have been a better decision for me even if I hadn't been working super hard. I wish I had like a better, more concrete answer for you, but I think that's just life. It's just messy and dumb. And like, it's been definitely a really great decision. I know that like me not being there 100%, I would 1,000 times choose this decision over again. And you know, we'll see what it looks like a couple, like, you know, years later. One thing that makes me really happy is that all 10 people I interviewed said that they were really happy with their decision, and especially people who were later in their decision-making, like people who had made that decision like to leave like 20 years ago or whatever, they were like, yeah, definitely, 100%, so happy about it. I'm like, all right, cool. This was definitely the move. That makes me really happy. But then I also saw people who were kind of in my boat that like had recently made the decision and hadn't yet figured out what they wanted to do, but they knew that it was right for them. And I think like the pressure of like, you can leave grad school, but you have to have a really great success in like some other place. That really annoys me because I'm like, man, adding all this extra pressure on myself to like make sure I like quote unquote make it. Because if I don't make it, then I'm a loser that like also left grad school. And I know that's not true. And I know that's like super false. But oh man, that imposter syndrome talks real loud when you're alone in your house for COVID for a whole year. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't go away. It doesn't matter where you are in your career.
Oh boy.
But you know, I also just wanted to echo you don't have to have answers right away. I know that like way earlier in the talk, I don't know how many people remember this part, but Neva was saying like, you know, not everyone is like going and just being on the beach. But the reality is afterwards I left my program, I actually booked a one-way ticket to Australia and hung out on the beach with my friend. So I was like, what am I doing with myself? I don't know what to do. I'm just going to go explore and be in the world because who knows what's happening. Of course, this was, you know, I don't even know anymore, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I don't know. But, you know, pre-pandemic. So we were allowed to travel and do those types of things. But yeah, you don't have to have an answer now. You can like, you know, if that's what is in your bliss or it's like, you know, you feel this urge or you feel this and it seems like that's the path that's, you know, illuminated for you and you go down it, it's okay. You can keep going down that path. It doesn't have to lead to something right away.
Ooh, that made me remember one other question I want to ask you, because I've noticed this for myself after I've left grad school. Like once I graduated, there's one question that always came up in grad school, but I haven't noticed much. How often does it come up that you left grad school? Like, how often do people ask you about that if you haven't already told them?
0 times. No one has ever asked me about it. I leave it on my resume. I leave it on all of my things. I explain, I write down, you know, I've done all the coursework and everything, and I put it on my resume because it's a lot of information I've learned, right? Because I technically went and I did a master's at another school because I wasn't at a school that I could choose to do a master's to apply all of that to. It was like only medical school.
So but I've never been asked about if like why or how or what happened that made me want to drop out.
I think it probably just depends on what kind of sector and job that you're in. Someone who didn't know that I had left grad school, and on my like resume I say that I have like my master's, they asked, have you ever considered going to grad school and getting a PhD? And I thought that was just like the funniest thing during our interview, because I was like, oh boy, you, yeah, I considered it, thank you. I don't know, I think it just really comes down to like what sector you're in. Like for some sectors they really prefer people having a PhD, and so it partially depends on like, you know, how are you gonna list it on your resume? Like, do you just write down that you like left a PhD program? Do you write down that you got a master's? Do you write down that you entered and was accepted to a PhD program? Like, I think people's level of comfort with like what they want to include can vary, and like rightfully so, because like not everyone wants to disclose every single portion of that. And there are some jobs that are very reliant on people having, you know, a higher education, for example, being a medical liaison. That was where the person had asked me, like, you know, have you considered getting a PhD? And I was like, sort of, maybe I applied, got in and did it. And almost did it, I guess, sorry. But other than that, I don't really think it matters, you know, because I'm not in a sector that asks for it very much. But, you know, I am a person that exists on the internet, and, you know, www is my home address. So like, a lot of people know about it, especially after making this video. And like, I did talk a lot online about being in a PhD program, so it makes sense that people are like, why'd you leave? Because I talked about it so much. So I imagine if you're a person who doesn't like, you know, publicize all of this portion of your life, you're probably not going to get asked about it ever. And also if you don't like include it on your resume when you're going to interviews.
Yeah. I also just wanted to say, you know, you don't have to include it on your resume. I actually didn't feel comfortable including it on my resume for the first few years. I actually only recently started, like, maybe the job that I had gotten pre-pandemic was the first time I had started including it on my resume.
Yeah, I just bring it up because one of the things that I have found is that it took me 6 years, almost like about 6 years to get my PhD, which depending on where you live in the world sounds like a lot or reasonable. But there was definitely this kind of push against, oh, I'm so sorry, you're a 6-year student. And every single time you would say you're a grad student at a conference or something, people would ask you what year. People would ask you like all these questions that had so much weight attached to them. And as soon as I got out of academia, like no one has ever cared at all how many years it took for me to get my PhD. Nobody that I work with, because I don't work in science, in terms of research science, but I work in biotech VC, nobody has ever asked to see my papers. And so I think one of the things that's really difficult in making decisions within academia, especially that will affect you getting out of academia, at least for some period of time, is that you are surrounded by people who are in one track. And exactly like Neba was saying, it's so important to take those internships, to talk with people outside, because they have different values and you're going to share some of those with them. And so I just wanted to ask that to kind of highlight that these steps are super scary, but then as both of you have said, in retrospect, this was the right decision. It was a hard decision. It was a scary decision. But it's really good to hear that both of you feel at peace and feel happy and feel that was a decision that has helped you get further along with who you are and how you feel as a person. So I want to wrap it up here. Thank you to everyone who was listening. Definitely please go ahead and follow Neba. Neba also has an awesome YouTube channel. That's where the video that inspired this conversation started. So go check her out on this profile and on there. And Diana is here and is on a bunch of social medias. Is there anything that you two want to say at all before we hop off?
I just want to add that, like, really, this decision is not at all a reflection of you. And my DMs are super open. And if there's any way at all that I can help you, anyone who's listening here or anyone who's listening to the recording, I will always try and have this, like, open DM policy, because, I don't know, it helped me when I was a tiny baby, and hopefully I can be that for someone else.
I don't really have anything to add, but I just wanted to say thank you to Neva for, you know, making something that's in a video format. I think that that's really great to make that resource available to people, because you're right, it's really hard to find people to talk to you during the process. So thank you for making that.
Yes, thank you so much, Neva, and thank you both for being here and having this conversation. And I hope that everyone who is listening has a fantastic rest of their day and their week. Take care.